Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You don't have to listen to Sports Grid. You can always go to a horse stable, find one with shoes, pry one off, and hang it over your door. Or you can get the winning edge
right here.
And you won't take a hoof to the head.
No!
This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
Pro football full circle.
This is for the win from 29 from the right hash. Whose kick is good. The Atlanta Falcons pull it out. After blowing an 18-point lead, they defeat the New Orleans Saints 27-25.
Week number 10 is officially underway. Welcome to Pro Football Full Circle right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 159. Moving on up, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz breaking down the NFL action. A lot of news and notes to get to. Cardinals wide receiver A.J. Green does return from the COVID list. You heard that Randy Gregory is out this weekend in the Cowboys matchup against Atlanta. He might be out multiple weeks. But, George, the news of the day, Cam Newton in Carolina in discussions. Sam Darnold out with a shoulder injury. P.J. Walker not getting it done for the Panthers. The potential to have Cammy Cam back in Carolina with Matt Rhule.
Yeah, I don't see this as a fit, but they're desperate right now, right? I mean, P.J. Walker's not the answer. Darnold's out at least a month, and he wasn't the answer. Really, not really surprised when you think about it. It's pretty much what we thought all coming into the season. They were going to have problems at quarterback here. But with Cam Newton, you got to change your offense. Can you do that on the fly midseason? I mean, that would seem unlikely to me that they're going to be able to get away with that. But they got to do something. So I don't blame them for giving it a shot. But he's got to come in there, learn the Matt Rhule offense, be able to run that. I was like, Matt Rhule's got to change his offense to fit him. Something's got to change here. You know, that's my worry there, Joe. I think it's going to be a huge problem here. But they have to do something. Like I said, P.J. Walker's not going to lead you anywhere.
Yeah, well, it's not signed, sealed, and delivered just yet. But what is interesting is that, according to Bill Belichick and the reports out of New England, when he did lose the job to Mac Jones and get released, right? Part of it we thought was the vaccination type of story. But the second part was that Mac Jones was teaching him the playbook, right? Is that he was going to Mac Jones to understand the new schemes that they were implementing. And now he's going to go with a new offense. He wasn't there a couple years. Now with Matt Rhule and Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator, can he get it down enough to where he's comfortable in the scheme? And we've seen this. You know, Carolina goes as Christian McCaffrey goes. Without him and without his dominance in terms of the run game, the short to intermediate passing game, they are basically a one-dimensional offense. And can Cam spread the football around enough in terms of the play action and passing game to get this team some points and, more importantly, wins down the stretch should they sign him in Carolina, George?
It'd be tough. I mean, they're playing Arizona this week. This is a loss anyway, right? I think most of us believe it's a loss anyway. But then you do get a stretch of games that maybe. And you play Washington in week 11, Miami week 12. Then you get the bye week, right? So by then you should be fine, right? You'd have almost a month here to figure things out before you finish at Atlanta, Buffalo, Tampa, New Orleans, Tampa again. So, I mean, listen, I think with Carolina's case, the fact that they made these trades earlier on, you know, to sort of go all in here trading for Henderson, trading for Gilmore. They don't want to see the season now slip away. But that's really what's happening here. And I don't think Cam's going to save that for them. I just don't see that. Right now, they're in last place in the division. Yes, they're 4-5. So they're only a half game out of a playoff spot. Right? I think Atlanta holds the last playoff spot in the NFC. They're only, once again, half game behind them. They play Atlanta yet. So theoretically, they could still get back in this. But where are you going? Just where are you going? But my thing is this, Walker's, I think they know Walker's not the quarterback of the future, so they also may be thinking, we have nothing to lose here. Let's see what Cam can do. And I don't blame him for that. Cam is certainly better than Walker, but it's just going to be, it's a mess. This would be a mess if you did this in August, but still when you had, five, 6 weeks up before week one. Now you're doing it week 10? I said, I don't know when he'd be up to par. Maybe where you could say, oh, yeah, Cam's ready to go here. Certainly wouldn't be this week. Unlikely to be next week. Miami in 2 weeks, maybe. But you just said it. He was having trouble in the offseason learning the New England playbook. Now he's going to learn this one on the fly? I just don't see it. Just because he was there with this team, that was a completely different offense. This offense is not tailored to him at all. He's a different kind of quarterback. So I think it's going to be rough.
Yeah, we'll see how that plays out. Speaking of Miami, they are 7.5-point dogs tonight against the Baltimore Ravens. They're minus 112 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Total set at 46.5. Baltimore was pushed into OT by the Minnesota Vikings. Now go on the road. I like them here. I'm a Dolphin fan, but I just don't know about Miami's offense going toe-to-toe with Lamar Jackson. Even though they're at home in this ballgame, I favor the Ravens in this matchup.
Yeah, I think I'm with you there. Dolphins just haven't played well for most of the season. For whatever reason, it just hasn't happened for them. I know they beat Houston last week, but that was an ugly game. Ugly game. What was it, 9 turnovers in that game? I mean, that set offensive football back a few decades. I don't see them on a short week being able to go up against Baltimore. It is in Miami, which we know generally is a very big advantage for the home team on a Thursday night game. Maybe that keeps it closer than it normally would be, but I'm all over the Ravens tonight.
Yeah, I am too. And when you see that spread 7.5 over the key number of 7, I mean, it's basically enticing you to take Brian Flores and the fish in this spot. Just have no confidence in their offense. Should they fall behind, I think they're completely one-dimensional. And the potential to get blown out in this ballgame, I mean, 46.5 seems like maybe it can go under. But with Lamar Jackson putting up 34 points last week, we saw Matt Ryan throw up 30 a couple of weeks ago. This number could sail through the total tonight.
I might be a little bit worried, but so I don't know what Miami's going to do. So that's my issue there. I don't know how many points Miami's going to come up. Does Baltimore have to put up, 75% of that total to get there? So I don't know if I'm going to have the over there. There'll be some props, though, that I'll like.
Yeah, when we come back, we'll be breaking down the complete slate of week number 10. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Coming right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, getting you prepared for the NFL week number 10 action. Talked about the Thursday night game. Going to break down the early slate for Sunday's action. It starts in Indianapolis with Urban Meyer and the Jacksonville Jaguars. 10.5-point dogs against Carson Wentz and the crew. Jacksonville minus 115 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. 47 at a hook, minus 110 either way. George, I got to tell you, I was very impressed with the defensive effort. Even though I thought Buffalo came out flat, that Jacksonville defense was flying to the football. Did not look like the same group that allowed Geno Smith and Seattle to run, pass all over them 2 weeks ago. I think they could be potentially a live dog on the road in Indy this coming Sunday. Don't be shocked. Don't be shocked if the Jaguars pull it out over the Colts.
Well, I'm going to be shocked, all right? I'm going to be shocked. Listen, many props to the Jags, and I agree with you. Their defense played fantastic. I don't care what you think about the Buffalo offense right now. I know it's a little broken, but still, that defense came out to play here. And if I hear one more thing about this Josh Allen beating that Josh Allen, I'm going to throw up, all right? I don't care that the same name intercepted the quarterback, or they got the turnover, or they got the sack. Who the hell cares? Weird to me that this is a big thing. Because the two men had the same name. Just strange. I don't want to hear it. Anyway, good for the Jaguars. All right? And this is becoming a team that I'm starting to hate immensely because I was on them in Seattle where they laid the egg, right, where they just didn't show up against Geno freaking Smith. Then they come home and they beat one of what we think is one of the best teams in the AFC. I'm not really sure anymore if they are. Or does they haven't played like it recently. And now they go back on the road. And Indianapolis, a team that's playing well and feeling it. No, I'm not. I won't be on the Jaguars here. I'm not saying I'll be on the Colts, because I am aware of what's going on with Jacksonville, but I think that was a one-week thing at home against the team they were just up for whatever reason, and things went their way. I don't know what's going to happen on the road in Indianapolis. I mentioned Indianapolis, they're playing well. I know neither one of us likes Carson Wentz, but other than that dumbass interception he threw against Tennessee, he's playing well. I think Frank Reich is finally realizing, give the freaking ball to Jonathan Taylor and let him be your team. Let him be your offense. And then you can use Carson Wentz. You can use the play fakes. You can get the ball to Michael Pittman, who's their main downfield threat now. I like the way the Colts are playing here. I do think this game could be an over, as I think Trevor Lawrence lost some success, too, against that secondary, but I like the Colts.
Well, here's the thing. They do have a couple of extra days of preparation there. 45-30 win and beat down over both Mike White and Josh Johnson in that matchup. I mean, it was a lot closer in the fourth quarter, but this game was a dismantling early and often by the offensive defensive lines of the Colts. They were completely the dominant offensive line against the New York Jets front seven. The way they wore down Jonathan Taylor, wasn't getting touched for like 5 yards. Until he reached the second level of the New York Jets linebackers. So can that continue against this front seven of Jacksonville? Now, I will say this is that Jacksonville, whether Lawrence is banged up or not, I don't care. Because if Lawrence is banged up and let's say doesn't go in this ballgame, you have C.J. Beathard there, a complimentary backup that I think can lead this team to victory, play very well in the preseason. And so involved in this offense, as long as they limit turnovers, I think they're going to have a shot to cover this number. Now, can they win it outright? Yeah, I think they can, because I think Carson Wentz has shown that he is turnover prone. He hasn't fixed that from his days the last couple of years in Philadelphia. So there's always that potential with the Indianapolis Colts. And if they do score first, Jacksonville, they're going to have an opportunity to pin their ears back and maybe get some pressure on Wentz. And then now you're talking. I think that everybody's looking like, nah, Jacksonville can't win two in a row. There's no way. And I think that that's where Urban Meyer and this team are playing a little bit with house money right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's a possibility. I'm certainly not going to – I'm not counting out Jacksonville, but they played one good game. One good game. Now I'm going to give them the credit here. They're going to show up again this week to play another good team, but this time on the road. I might have more faith that this was at home again. I also wonder if last week was their Super Bowl. If last week was their Super Bowl and that's it. You know, now we go back to being what we've seen earlier this season. Maybe they're starting to figure it out. You know, it could be that as well, that they finally are playing his system, his type of football here. But I have a hard time believing that. Like I said, the Colts are just playing, they're playing well right now. You mentioned they crushed the Jets on that Thursday night, which means they have had 3 extra days of preparation, of rest, of getting ready for this game here. Other than the one game the Jaguars have played, I don't have much faith here. Maybe they are feeling it now. Maybe they're going to turn their season around, but I doubt it. Yeah, this is still not a very good team here. Colts are still, I mean, they're not going to win the division. They're getting really very little shot at that, but they have a shot for a wild card. Give me the Colts.
Yeah, we'll see how that one plays out. It is a 1 o'clock kick. The other game I want to talk about here is in Dallas. Big D, you heard in the open that Randy Gregory's out for that defense for multiple weeks. This is a team that was playing 9.5 to Denver, did not show up against basically a pedestrian offense against Teddy Bridgewater and the crew. They blinked. They were down double digits. I've never seen Dallas over the past couple of years get just abused on both sides of the football by a mediocre offense in terms of Vic Fangio and the crew, right? I mean, we're not talking about an explosive offense for Denver right now. They run the football. They wear you down. And somehow, some way, the Cowboys came out flat. But now they face Atlanta. Matt Ryan throws for 347 last week without Calvin Ridley. They pull out the victory as a 6.5-point underdog against New Orleans. They come in here 4-4 overall. You mentioned that they're fighting for a playoff wild card seed right now. They're 9-point dogs. What they're worth out, Gregory, George? This is my favorite bet, best bet in terms of the favorites. I love Dallas to step up in a big way. Might be a shootout, but I think Dallas does handle this game from start to finish. 17 points or more, Cowboys win against Matty Ice and the crew.
I mean, things aren't going well for the Cowboys right now. You mentioned Randy Gregory, who's likely out the next 3 games. Dallas has 3 games in 12 days now. They play, obviously, Atlanta at home this week, KC on the road next week, and I think the Raiders on Thanksgiving. So they have 3 games in 12 days. Tough period for Randy Gregory to be out there, best pass rusher. And DeMarcus Lawrence is not ready to return yet. So, there's a lot going on in Big D right now. Listen, last week was a stinker. Anyway, you look at it. I think if you're a Cowboy fan, what you're hoping for, they weren't going to go 16-1, and you were not going to play great every week. Very, very few teams do. That's your game. Well, you just don't show up for whatever reason. Didn't show up on either side of the ball. You said you haven't seen that. I guess you didn't watch too many Cowboy games last year, because I saw that a lot.
Where they lost by, what I'm saying was last year they weren't abused 30-0. I mean, they were
abused last year in most games. They were terrible. But absolutely terrible. The reason was Dak Prescott.
We're talking Ben DiNucci. We're talking Garrett Gilbert. But we're not talking Dak Prescott at the helm.
Well, you didn't put that little caveat in there when you made your statement.
That's what I'm talking about.
You said the team. I'm going to be Aaron Rodgers here, man. I'm immunized.
Fair. Fair point.
But we saw that a lot, man. And that's the biggest worry about the Cowboys. Not so much the offense. The Cowboys laid an egg. They'll be fine. Maybe Dak was terrible last week. He was awful. But came back with a calf injury, a little rusty here. It's the defense you worry about, because we've seen this in the recent past. They've fallen into those traps again. So that's what you worry about here. I think this game has some shootout potential. I think there'll be some points put up on the board here. But I agree with you. The Cowboys should take care of business here. They better take care of business. Because things are going to get a little tougher for this team. As for the Atlanta Falcons, they're in a playoff spot right now. That hurts to say, Joe. Hurts to say. But they're in a playoff spot right now. Amazing what they've done here when you think about it. You said it. No Russell Cage. Julio Jones is gone. Calvin Ridley is gone. I mean, what they're doing here
is just... No running game, too, right? That's the other thing. They have no running game. They are completely...
It's not the Atlanta Falcons. It's the Atlanta Cordarrelle Pattersons, which is amazing. Amazing what the turnarounds he's had here. And the defense isn't quite, I should say quite, it's not anywhere near as bad as we thought it was going to be. It really thought the Atlanta Falcons were going to play, overs every week here, but they're playing better than we thought here. So that's been a pretty surprising here. So good for them here. That being said, I do think Dallas takes care of business on Sunday.
Well, as a Cowboy fan, I think you're happy that you got the win with Cooper Rush against Minnesota. And even though you don't like it, you got to take the loss with Denver. When we come back, we'll be talking New Orleans. Keep it where it is.
Sports professor Rick Haro inside the $1.3 trillion business of sports with your daily numbers game. NFL, FanDuel, DraftKings, PointsBet, BetMGM, the whole panoply of gaming operations and their deals going very well, you would expect with the NFL. But here's a new one. Aristocrat Gaming, 90 countries, 300 jurisdictions, branded NFL games across all casino floors as early as the 2023 season, which will give an opportunity not just to generate increased revenue and excitement, but obviously more bets on a regular basis, because these gamblers will have the opportunity to, quote, support their favorite team, even if it's just branding. And the NFL has jumped all in with all aspects of gaming, now 2023 and way beyond. Sports Professor Rick Haro, Daily Numbers Game.
You don't have to listen to Sports Grid. You can always go downtown.
Hey, babe, you want to go out?
Scour the sidewalks. Find a penny and pick it up. Or you can get the winning edge
right here.
And you won't get Tomey. This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Ripping through the NFL slate for this coming Sunday, we left off talking about the Dallas Cowboys. Going to turn our attention to the New Orleans Saints, but I asked George in the break. He's a big Cowboy fan. You think Dallas is a Super Bowl contender? He said absolutely not, but I did want to pose this, George. FanDuel has Dallas as a 5-1 shot to win the NFC Championship. 5-1. I mean, think about New Orleans at 21-1. They're fifth overall. They're in the division lead for the NFC East. I know it's a terrible division, but at the end of the day, you get a red-hot Dak Prescott, you get Trayvon Diggs, you get Micah Parsons leading that defense for a playoff run. You're built to run the football with Zeke and Tony Pollard. You wouldn't take that any day of the week?
Well, they're not the best team in the NFC, and their injuries are mounting up now, including some of their best players. Like I said, no Marcus Lawrence all year. Randy Gregory is not now out of the lineup. And their biggest problem might be Tyron Smith, by the way. You could make a pretty good argument he's their most important player on offense. And now he's missed, a game and a half here. Got hurt in the Minnesota game, didn't play last week. He's iffy at best for this week. And you saw what happened last week when they don't have another – listen, not that any team truly has another left tackle, but they don't have one. And it's caused problems in the past. And with that bone spur, I don't know if that's getting any better at all this year. He may maybe a pain tolerance issue where he can play it at times, but no, the next chance of him playing a full game might not be till next season when they have to shave that down. You mentioned Trayvon Diggs. He was a nice story because he made a lot of big plays, but he's also given up a lot of big plays. He's a boom or bust cornerback. You know, and you see you watch him. His eyes are in the backfield a lot. He's looking to make the big play rather than playing corner sometimes and just doing your job. So, like I said, it's a work in progress here. Micah Parsons, by the way, that man is fast. He closes fast. I don't want to say I've never seen a linebacker do that. I mean, I'm sure I have, but wow. When he's in the open, he gets to you. And that's super impressive. Seeing him sack the quarterback a time or two last week where he's 1 second, he's, you know, 5-7 yards away, and it's blink of an eye, quarterback's on the ground. He's there, and the quarterback, it's just, wow, the man can go. I said, I am very impressed with what Dallas has done, but I don't think they're the best team, no. I don't.
No,
I
would, but would you put money probably at 5-1? That's the bigger question. Would you throw
they down? Shouldn't be five. They shouldn't be 5-1. Whenever you bet on Dallas at anything, by the way, you're paying the Dallas fee because so many Cowboy fans, you're not getting the right price here. It should be probably 7-1. It should be 8-1. But you're paying the Dallas fee. It's like if you're a Steeler fan, you pay the Steeler fee. You pay a Patriot fee because that fan base is so large and travels so well, you're paying that fee. So they're always giving you that. You know, and that's what's so annoying about that. They're not – they should be at 5-1. They should be like a 7 – if they were a normal team, regular team that, you know, did have a big fan base, they'd be 7-1, 8-1, somewhere around there. Yes, they're going to win the division, and that's, you know, fantastic. But as you said, the division, I don't know if it's the worst in football. It's certainly one of them. And they're going to walk away with it. Like I said, it should be over somewhere in early December where they've got it clinched. But then I doubt they're going to get a bye, the number one seed. That's going to be very tough to get. And remember, only one team gets that bye. So after that, you're playing a tournament. And who's ever hot at the right time, could it be them? Sure. Is anybody going to be looking forward to playing the Cowboys? I doubt it. But if you tell me who would you rather play, Tampa, Dallas, or Green Bay, the likely division winners here, I think a lot of teams are going to say, oh, we'll play Dallas. They don't have a great home field advantage in the playoffs. They, you know, in the new, Jerry's world, has been great home field for them. You know, and I think the teams will expect Dallas to be Dallas. And I still expect it too. Maybe it's the rut we get into. When they get in the playoffs, yeah, they might win the wild card round, but that's about as far as they get. Yeah, they'll lose in the divisional championship. So that's what I would say here.
Then. So basically you're saying no at 5-1.
Do you trust McCarthy? I mean, really, do you trust McCarthy to win these games?
I don't trust McCarthy, but what I do trust is you look at the recipe to win games, especially in a playoff environment. Forced turnovers, they do that. Opportunistic, yeah, they have a secondary led by Diggs, boom or bust. They could change the landscape of the game. Kept them in the ball game against Minnesota. And then can you run the football on top of having an elite quarterback? Yeah. I mean, granted, Dak hasn't hoisted a Super Bowl trophy, but you have a complimentary thunder and lightning type of backfield, just the way Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette, it was mostly Fournette, but he carried that offense throughout the playoffs to take the pressure off of Tom Brady. Maybe if they get hot and that offensive line finds continuity at 5-1, yeah, I would take a shot on Dallas. I'm not sold on Green Bay being elite with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, outside of Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones, yes, I think they're going to need to run A.J. Dillon more in the playoffs. I'm not sold on their defense, even though they're playing well right now. And some of the other teams as well. I mean, I'm not sold on this Rams team either. I mean, people are in love with Stafford, hasn't won a playoff game. And this defense, let's be honest, led by Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey, they're good. They're not elite. This is not a game-changing defense by LA by any stretch. I'm sorry. I just haven't seen it. I've seen teams move the football consistently on them, mediocre teams, and in order for them to take the next step, I need to see that defense all of a sudden turn it on. And I haven't seen it yet. But we'll see. That's why they play the games. The game I do want to talk about, potentially the game of the day, and there's a lot of great games in week number 10. Last week, it was basically an type of card. We got some elite matchups. New Orleans on the road to face a red-hot Tennessee team. They've now won four straight Tennessee, right, George? This line opened up at 3. New Orleans money coming in now on FanDuel, 2.5 right now for the Saints, which Saints are underdogs, but I can't see how that could be possible. People are banging in on the New Orleans Saints on the road in Nashville.
I'm with you. I mean, are we just not giving any credit to Tennessee? Is that what's going on here? What has New Orleans done that's been so impressive? And don't get me wrong, I think Sean Payton might be in line for Coach of the Year with what he's done with his team with nearly no offensive talent. But we have Kamara, who missed practice yesterday with a knee injury. And this is something to watch out for because New Orleans, we knew something was up yesterday before we heard about Kamara's knee because they brought in running backs to work out. So we knew something was going on here. But bottom line is this, something's up here, right? Something is up. Well, in New Orleans with Kamara, and I don't know what it is, if he's going to be able to play Sunday or play his full role, whatever it might be. And without him, there's no chance in hell they're going to win this game. They don't have an offense without Kamara. They barely have one with them, and he's a great player. Now, I think, is Semien going to start again? Is it going to be Hill? How do you lose to the Falcons last week at home? That can't happen. Yeah, that just can't happen. So I think they're doing it with Mears, the Saints. I think they're doing it with their defense playing so well, but that defense showed cracks last week, and that's an issue. So like I said, there's all sorts of problems from here with New Orleans, but I'm with you. When we do our best bets tomorrow, pretty good chance this is going to be on one of them. But let me tell you this. Doesn't this smell to you? Doesn't it smell?
Yeah,
why?
It does.
That's my problem.
Well, here's the thing. Here's what smells is that Tennessee was underdogs to the Bills. They were underdogs to the Chiefs. They were underdogs to the Colts, and they were underdogs to the Rams. Now, all of a sudden, they're home favorites by 3. It's like, okay, we're gonna try and suck you in the other way now. Now we're going to only make them 3-point favorites against an inept offense that struggled with a mediocre defense in terms of Atlanta last week. And they're on the road, and you're only laying 2.5 now, and money's coming in on the Saints now. I do like the Saints' defense in this matchup. I think you'll get a better effort than what the Rams showed. And even though, you know, turnovers really changed the landscape of that game, I get that. But at the end of the day, once Tennessee jumped up to a double-digit lead, it was like, okay, let's not lose the game at this point. I think they're going to be a little more aggressive with Tannehill in this matchup, knowing that they can't maybe consistently pound the rock with AP. He looked, by the way, old. I know he scored a touchdown, but he looked old in the first quarter of that matchup. He had no running lanes, and he couldn't cut it back. Would he have 13 yards on like 5 carries, AP? So they can be one-dimensional, but still, where's the offense going to come if Kamara's not there? Where is it going to come? And I'll go a little deeper, George. Think about this. OBJ said that the Saints are one of the teams that he's considering. Why? I know because maybe they have a good defense and they're in playoff consideration.
He's from the area.
I know he's from the area, but why not Atlanta? He could be the number one guy. You have a veteran quarterback in Matt Ryan, Kyle Pitts alongside of you, and it's the same option basically as what New Orleans has right now.
Oh, yeah, listen, you get no argument from me. The OBJ said he wanted a couple of things, right? He wanted to play with an established quarterback. New Orleans ain't got that. He wants to play for a contending team. Okay, they got that. But you're right. Atlanta, and if we're going by the area thing, which is the only reason why I think he's considering New Orleans, Atlanta makes much more sense. Now, maybe Atlanta doesn't want him. It could very well be that. They don't want to take on that distraction, or they don't believe he can learn the offense and be where he'll make a difference. And that's a fair question, by the way, Joe, for any team that acquires him. Can he be? How long is it going to take him to be a difference maker? Can he be a difference maker anymore? Is he that kind of player? It's been a year.
Well, here's the thing. George, he came out yesterday and said it might take him a while to make a decision. Oh, what are you going to wait to see until the playoff race gets a little more?
You know what that means? That means the money's not there. No one's offering him anything. That's exactly what that means. When you come out and say that means, oh, man, these offers I'm getting are terrible. You know, I'm getting nothing more than barely over the minimum.
Did he really think he was going to get, like, an elite offer?
Yes. Yes, I guarantee you he did. Because once again, these players always think that. Those are the guys who are once great. They always think they're still great. And that's probably what makes them great in the first place, by the way, because they do think of themselves that highly. But I think they did think that. Now, I don't know if this is his agent's fault. Because whenever you get released like this, or you know, they work out an agreement, generally the agent has checked around and he knows what your value is. He can tell you, oh yeah, I can get, you know, whatever, $6 million from so and so. You know, if you want to go there, I can get that. So it's worth giving up. Because not only did he get, did he get himself out of there, but he negotiated where he turned down the termination pay. That was $3.5 million he turned down to get this, to get the hell out of there. So that was strange to me that now he can't get offers that any, are anywhere near what he wants.
Yeah, interesting. He also said that he would like to play with Seattle, DK Metcalf and Russell Wilson. That'll be the next game that we hit next right here on the grid. Keep it where it is.
You might be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire. No matter what you watch or where you play, learn from the world's best DFS players. Lineup building tools, expert projections, and advanced stats change the way you play the game. Dominate the competition. DailyRoto.com, the player's choice.
To listen to Sports Grid, you can always go out in the woods, find a rabbit, take his foot, and rub it. Or you can get the winning edge
right here,
and you won't get any blood on you. This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM. To Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Potentially the best matchup in week number 10 resides in Green Bay. Lambeau Field. Aaron Rodgers might be back after his brief hiatus on the COVID list. He said there's a 90% shot he will play, a small percentage he'll have to stay out for this Sunday's game against the Seattle Seahawks. Russell Wilson back from the finger injury. George, Seattle on FanDuel, +3.5 right now, -115. Total set at 49 and a hook at -110 either way. I want to pull the trigger on Seattle here. The only concern that I have is with the finger injury to Russell Wilson, right, and him not playing in terms of a game type of situation, is he a little ginger? Is the grip on the football a little bit different, obviously? That's going to be a main concern for me. And how does he approach this game going on the road to where it's going to be a balmy 40 degrees? He knows he's going to have to score, especially if Rodgers plays in this ball game. Defense really hasn't stepped up to elite status. I'll still pull the trigger with Seattle, but I think it will be a lower scoring game under the total of 49.5.
Yeah, I'm with you on the lower scoring game, Bob, because we could say the same thing about Rodgers. He hasn't now played or practiced. Yeah? He won't play or practice before this game, assuming he plays. And it's weird. You know, he doesn't need a negative test to play in this game. He needs the doctors to clear him now. I find that strange. Yeah, how do you not need a negative test after you test positive? But whatever, that's the sale, what they negotiated.
I think because after...
I imagine it stays within the body, yeah.
Yeah, but you're not...
I'm still surprised.
You're not obviously contagious at that point, supposedly.
Yeah, so he'll need a doctor to clear him, where unless Rogers is saying, hey, I don't feel well, he's playing in this game. And I think he needs to play to go, really get off the stink of his interview or interviews with Pat McAfee. I found it hilarious. You made yourself look like an idiot the first interview, and then obviously your agent or your PR person got to you, and you fixed it in that second interview. If only the second interview would have been the first interview, none of this would have ever happened. You know, if Woody would have called the police. So what I like about this game, I think it's too interesting, Matt, because you said it. I agree with you. I think Wilson with the finger, he's going to be a little rusty. He almost has to be. I know he's at full participation in training camp this week, in practice all week. But we saw it with Dak last week, right? He was a full participant, and he was rusty when he came out in that for the Cowboys, and that was at home. You know, Green Bay is going to be a little tougher place to play in. Yeah, there will be some weather elements, although you said for Green Bay, 36 degrees is balmy for this type of year. No snow or anything. It's always the first thing I look for, by the way, when I see a home game in Green Bay in November plus. I want to see if it's going to snow. So it'll be that. Rodgers should also be a little bit rusty, right? I mean, he should be. It might take both these quarterbacks a quarter to get going here. So, I'm going to go with the under as well. I think, once again, Green Bay is probably going to try and run the ball in the first part to get Rodgers into a groove. You know, let's move the football a little bit with Dylan, with the Aaron Jones here of Seattle. We think it's going to be Carson, you know, but is he going to handle his full load coming back from the neck injury? It's funny. 2 weeks ago, we heard this neck injury was probably going to be season-ending, that Carson was worried about it, it might end his season. Now he's back in 2 weeks. So I don't know if he's going to have his full load. They're going to take it easy with them. Collins is also banged up here. So we'll see. Neva defense truly, we know the Seattle defense is bad. Green Bay's defense hasn't impressed me either. I think they have all sorts of issues. The good news for the offense is that Bakhtiari, the all-pro left tackle, he'll be back for this game. So he will protect Aaron Rodgers' blind side here. Interesting game because both quarterbacks haven't played. Yeah, well, in some time here.
Yeah, great point. And here's what I want to bring up in terms of a deeper conversation, because I brought it up yesterday to Scott Wetzel when we talked about Super Bowl contenders, right? We picked some favorites. We picked some dark horses. And at 45-1, if you're going to give me potentially one of the top quarterbacks in the NFC, if not the NFL, in Russell Wilson, and as long as they could creep into the wild card, I would take those chances any day of the week. We're not talking about Joe Burrow and a team in Cincinnati that's sitting at 21-1 that hasn't been there and done that. We're talking about a Super Bowl winner that potentially could get hot at the end of the year. And when you look at their schedule, I know on paper it seems very dramatic and hard, right? They play the Packers on the road. Then they come back home. They have Arizona. They go back on the road to face Washington. Come back home to face San Francisco. Then they're on the road to face Houston, the Rams, and then home for the Bears and Lions. If I just told you that schedule, can Seattle make the playoffs? They're 3-5 overall right now. Do you feel confident if they get into a wild card, they can get hot with potentially Russell Wilson, a star quarterback that could maybe just strike lightning in a bottle at the end of the year?
Do I think they could get in? I do. Now, going through a schedule real quick in my head as you were going through it, I have them at 8-8 with that last game in Arizona. You know, maybe Arizona doesn't need that game. You know, and it's, you know, they've already clinched whatever they can clinch there. They have nothing to play for. So they could be 9, it could be 8-9. And 8-9 might get you in, by the way. So I'm not counting them out at all. Here's my problem for Seattle. All right, yes, we're going to put the Cowboys, Green Bay, Tampa Bay, and Arizona and the Rams all in the playoffs, right? They're all in. So you got okay. All these teams fighting for two spots. And listen, I think New Orleans is going to come back to the pack. I know right now they're 5-3, but I think they'll be in this mess as well. But you're talking with a game and a half of a playoff spot right now is Philadelphia, Giants, Vikings, Bears, Falcons, Panthers, Seahawks, 49ers. In other words, every team in the NFC right. Other than the Lions and the Washington football team.
Right.
It's going to be who gets hot, who gets lucky, who has the easiest schedule. I haven't looked at the schedule for every team. I haven't. But none of these teams are, all-worldly. So I think Russell Wilson has a shot show. It's Russell Wilson.
Right,
so
exactly. Yes, they have and that's a shot. What I was saying. Out of all the teams that you mentioned, none of them have a quarterback that won a Super Bowl or led his team to, well, Garoppolo did. He was the only quarterback. And Ryan, those are the only two that you mentioned out of that group. Ryan and Garoppolo led their teams. They lost, obviously, to the Patriots and the Chiefs in those ball games. But outside of that, there's no Super Bowl winner on that complete list of NFC has-beens that you just listed. So at 45-1, right, would you be willing? You wouldn't pull it for Dallas. Would you be willing to go all in on Seattle to win the whole Super Bowl, the whole kit and caboodle at 45-1?
It depends how you're going to put this. Are they going to win the Super Bowl? No. They're not. They're nowhere near good enough. Their defense is terrible. Could they do some damage? Sure. In one game, you never know here. So 45-1, if I'm putting it on Seattle, I'm putting it because it's 45-1. Why not? You know, you throw, whatever, $30, $40 on, hey, I'm just going to see what happens here. But I'm not, it depends how you want to phrase this. Could I do it because it's 45-1 and I think they'll get in? Sure. And once you get in, you have a shot. Right, so one right. game a week, take it one game at a time. But if you're going to ask me, do I think they have a chance to win the Super Bowl? No.
It's not even the Super fine. Bowl. It's the NFC. I was wrong. It's the NFC. So
okay,
they
that's
just
better.
Have to win the, that's better, right?
That's better. So you look at it logically. If they get in, all right, they're probably the seventh seed. All right, so they're going to be playing the top division winner, which is like, once again, Dallas, Green Bay, or Tampa. So I think they could beat any of those teams on any given day in Dallas, Green Bay, or Tampa? Yeah, I do. Yeah, once again, I think this probably game, the second game you know, divisional weekend where you probably could play in Arizona again. And we'll probably get a pretty good idea, or the Rams. I don't know which team's going to win that division. You know, and then we'll get a better idea of them when they play those teams during the week, right? They're in that division. They play them twice. Mm-hmm. If they get wrecked twice by Arizona, well, then you know they're not going to do it. Well, if they get wrecked twice by the Rams, they
well, then throw the ticket out the window, right? That, I mean, I agree with you. If they get wrecked.
But I have no problem, Joe, throwing, like I said, if you don't, because it's 45-1 and it's Russell Wilson and we think they a shot to get in. And they're not a lock to get in at all, but a shot to get in, why not? Do I expect to lose? Absolutely. But I think they'll get in, therefore they have a shot at it, and I'll have something to play for. And I do like the fact that just to win the NFC, not the Super Bowl, it's just one less game, one tough team you don't have to face.
Right. Now, when you look at Arizona, obviously they're 10-point favorites against Carolina this Sunday. Carolina's a mess right now. Now, McCaffrey came back, had a pedestrian 50 yards in that offense. They utilized him in terms of the short-term intermediate passing game. We know Darnold's out for a period of time with a fractured scapula. Do they get Cam? Obviously, they're not going to have Cam for this game, so it's P.J. Walker, 10-point underdogs. They couldn't get it done against the Patriots. Now you're going to have to score some points against Arizona. I mean, Kyler Murray most likely will be back in this lineup, minus 110 either way. You know, this defensive front, I think, could keep them in it, but you got to get something from McCaffrey. You got to get something from this offense. I don't love it, but I would lean to Carolina with the points.
Not with P.J. Walker. He's not a quarterback. He's not ready to be a quarterback. You know, so and if Murray does play, now we don't know about Murray. By the way, Murray and Hopkins were not seen at practice. You know, by the part that was visible by the media. I know Murray came out yesterday and said, "Oh, I made incredible progress." Well, that's great. What does that mean? Yeah. You know, what does that mean? You know, I could see once again, you know, Kingsbury going, "Well, you know, we beat San Fran with Colt McCoy."
I know.
Why am I going to rush Murray back? Why am I going to rush him back?
But here's the thing. Colt McCoy, I know he got the victory last week. James Conner, right? But is Colt McCoy worthy of a 10-point spread, no matter if he has star athletes around him? Is he worthy at home of a 10-point spread?
Listen, but this is where P.J. Walker evens out. I would rather have McCoy than P.J. Walker. That's my problem here. If Carolina had, you know, their regular quarterback, it was Sam Darnold, I would probably – that's hurts. But I would probably be with you here. I don't know if I'm going to give – you know, I'm not going to pay this 10 points with Colt McCoy at quarterback. Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to do that because I'm with you here. I don't think Colt McCoy should be favored by 10 points over anybody. But he was good last week against a better team in San Fran.
San Fran.
Maybe it was his Super
terrible.
Bowl.
That's a great. I mean, James Conner looked like. I mean, I
don't talk about James Conner.
But James Conner's career at Pittsburgh, he was a plotter. And granted, he's a great story. I love James Conner. But at the end of the day, it looked like he was like a 14-year-old kid. He was running so fast. I mean, San Francisco couldn't contain him in any capacity. That screen pass that he took at the start of the third quarter, there wasn't a body around him for like 10 yards. Amazing, amazing, great story for James Conner. And that's what Chase Edmonds banged up.
What's the biggest story, James Conner or Cordarrelle Patterson?
Oh, I would say Conner. I feel like Cordarrelle has been doing this. I mean, let's not forget, he was part of the Bears offense with Nagy, right? Nagy got, I mean, he was getting more carries. I did the Monday night game against Minnesota. It was Cordarrelle Patterson left, Cordarrelle Patterson right. I mean, it was 90% of the offense where they lost to Minnesota last year in Soldier Field. Now, Montgomery was banged up. There were a lot of bodies hurt in that ballgame. But I just feel like James Conner was written off. He was written off. The Steelers said he was expendable. He's not the type of running back that we wanted, so they got rid of him. He's making a home for himself with Arizona. I'll tell you that. And that performance was dynamic. And not just running the football, George. He wasn't really that great of a receiver coming out of Pittsburgh. I mean, he could catch the football, but he has great hands now at the NFL level.
He does. Maybe Atlanta's figured out how to use him. Maybe he's a late bloomer, whatever you want to call him. But he's been a really, really good player this year that none of us saw coming. Certainly not to this degree. Conner, kind of had a nice, interesting little run in the beginning with Pittsburgh before he sort of, you know, flamed out kind of quickly there. But he's been amazing this season with Arizona. They are using him correctly as well. O'Connell, though, now that Evans is likely out for a few weeks, we'll see what happens there.
We'll see if he can carry that offense with Colt McCoy potentially at the helm against P.J. Walker. When we come back, we'll wrap it up.
The early line.
Antonio Brown can't come to town and be like, I'm the number one. I want everything. Tom Brady raises his hand and goes, hey, I don't need you here. That's why it works out so well, and that's why he fits there. I think Odell Beckham Jr. needs that. He needs to go to a locker room environment where he cannot dominate it. They can lay out a plan that says, here's the success for you to build your resume.
It's the early line with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside. Weekdays, 7 a.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On the home of the winning edge, the Sports Grid Radio Network. You may or may not be a good Sports Grid listener.
Test yourself.
If you've ever panicked at realizing you've lost your lucky troll doll, you may not be a good Sports Grid listener. Sports gaming strategies and info. This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Wrapping up today's show, and tomorrow we're going to be on breaking down the complete slate of all the action for week number 10. But we were talking in depth about Seattle and Russell Wilson, 45-1 shot to make and win the NFC Championship. How about this, George, to make the playoffs on FanDuel, plus 230 to the yes, minus 300 to the no.
Yeah, that's something I would take, right? 2.3 to 1. Because like I said, we already went through it, right? They got a shot really as much as anybody else. I know his schedule is not great, but it's not terrible either here for Seattle. And someone's going to get in there with a so-so record. All right, I mean, like I said, right now New Orleans is in with 5-3, but we expect them to come, you know, back down to earth a little bit. You know, maybe they lose this week, go something, they're 5-4. Atlanta's at 4-4. They're in the last spot right now. Carolina's dead. I think they're dead in the water at 4-5. They're going to keep going down with tubes here. So that always went for Seattle. San Fran doesn't look all that good. Does anyone really think it's going to be Chicago? Maybe Minnesota. No. You and I both think they're a better team than they've played. You know, so maybe it could be Minnesota. Philadelphia, because the division is so bad. But I don't think they're beating Denver this week. That's 3-7. The Giants, come on. So, yeah, I think Seattle's got a pretty good shot to get in here. That's a bet I would take.
Yeah, I like that, too, at plus 230. I also do like Minnesota at plus 220 on FanDuel to have a shot. If you're talking about New Orleans, like George mentioned, minus 260, yes, plus 200 to the no, which I got to be honest with you. If Alvin Kamara is banged up like you say he is and he's not a part of that offense, I would hammer that at plus 200 because they have no offensive weapons. How are they going to stretch any defense over to the top?
Yeah, like I said, he's definitely banged up. I don't know to what degree. I have no idea if he's going to play or not this weekend. It's just something to definitely watch here. We know he didn't practice yesterday. That raised the red flag. I mentioned they brought in running backs before we found out about that he was there. So that raises another red flag here. We'll know more tomorrow because that's really the important practice. If he's out today and tomorrow's practice, then we really start to worry about Kamara.
Hopefully some of the running backs they brought in was not Frank Gore. For George Kurtz, our great producer, Andrew Torres, I'm Joe Lisi. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day, everyone.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.